The U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup this summer, and it's expected to be a medal contender at the Olympics in Tokyo next summer. But the team's gender discrimination case continues off the field. The women sued U.S. soccer, demanding equal pay for the, as the men's team. A judge this week set May 2020 for the trial. And U.S. captain Alex Morgan talked about the dispute with U.S. soccer on NPR's Morning Edition today.
You know, I'm hopeful in the next 9 months that we can find a resolution that fits us both. The women and the men are paid equal. If not, then I can see it continuing on this path until trial.
We have with us Mike Pesca, Here and Now sports analyst. He's host of the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
So what's at stake in this case?
Well, higher pay for the women.
Yep.
Now, does that mean equal pay? I guess that's begging the question in the literal sense. So there is a multi-pronged, I'm not going to say war, but let us say set of actions that the U.S. women's national team are undertaking in regards to their federation. They have the lawsuit that you just talked about. To allow for that lawsuit, they filed an EEOC claim, and that was upheld. That's sort of pro forma, Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. And the third thing is mediation. They're all intertwined. And just recently, a couple weeks ago, mediation fell apart. The Federation did not agree to the terms that the women were asking for, which the women portray as equal pay. And therefore, the women are now pointing to the lawsuit itself.
Mike, I just have to ask you. I mean, we've been talking about equal pay, and you make the distinction equal pay versus higher pay. I mean, what's the issue here? How come we're talking about it in these terms even still after 20 plus years?
Well, I would say for, 17 of those years, because it was just clear as day that there was no equal pay, and beyond pay, there was the conditions of the field, travel conditions. The women had it worse. Now, the U.S. Soccer Federation has put forward some statistics, which the women's union essentially says are a ruse, that show that the women are paid, if not equally, actually more. So from anyone can make the parameters that they want to make. But for the most recent time period, as defined by the Soccer Federation, the players on the women's team got a lot more money. You could counter argue, well, that's because they did a lot better. Mm-hmm. That's true. But if we're talking about equal pay, they were paid more for the last few years. They also did make more money in terms of revenue. But again, that's for a certain time frame. The reason that equal pay is so salient on the minds of the women is because they definitely believe in it, but also because they know they have a social movement behind them. Mm-hmm. And so they're not only arguing on the basis of what the courts will agree with or what their negotiating partners will agree with. If they have the public on their side, it gives them more leverage. And maybe the U.S. Soccer Federation will just say, I think we could press this case and save a couple million bucks, but is it really worth it in the end? And so the women are and should be pursuing that tack.
Mike, on the men's side, there is some news as well. This is interesting. They're expanding the men's league. There's a new team coming to St. Louis after that city tried for many, many years to get one. What does that say about the health of pro soccer generally in the U.S.?
The MLS, Major League Soccer, is doing really well. And these franchises are selling for reported $200 million.
Wow.
And that'll be the St. Louis, which is a soccer hotbed. Odd that had gone without a team, is adding a new team. The men are averaging 21,000 or so attendees per match. That's actually a little down, but there's been like a 5-year rise. And let's also point out that kudos to the city of St. Louis, because a few years ago, they rejected a tax measure where some taxpayer money would go into funding the stadium.
Yeah.
This new stadium and team will be entirely private.
You
might think it's subjective, but the scholarship is so overwhelmingly clear. I feel that I could say this as an analyst. It is wrong for members of the public and tax dollars to go for soccer or football or baseball stadia in general. And in this case, St. Louis did the right thing. Let the rich people who want the team and will make money on it pay for it.
Okay, we want to ask you about protesting and what happened with the national anthem and the raising of the fist, and another took the knee. Is the committee sending a message that political protests won't be tolerated?
This is the U.S. Olympics.
This is the U.S. Olympics,
right?
U.S. Summer Olympics in Tokyo next year. Everyone's looking forward to that and what this signals.
Right. So some previous protests with the taking of the knee, and of course this resonated with the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, that famous protest, hands in the air, Juan Carlos, Tommy Smith. The Olympics always wants to avoid this. And in fact, if you can, I think it's a conundrum. I think it's a legitimate conundrum because you don't want to step on the free rights speech of the people who are protesting. And of course, when they're bringing forward important issues. On the other hand, the point of the Olympics is as an anecdote to politics, certainly politics, wars between country. So you, an antidote, I should say.
That's, I don't know. Anecdote. I think it's going to be, yeah, I think it's going to be hard to keep the athletes quiet.
To keep them. I know. It's the time that we're in.
It will be. And the Olympic Committee always has this role of kind of the father figure. And we'll see what the athletes and how driven they are to protest and raise their fists or create an action.
Thank you so much. Mike Pesca is Here and Now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome.